Welcome back, everyone, to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. Pack your bags, everyone, because we are crossing the ocean and heading to the beautiful city of London for our show today. And joining us to talk about the incredible world-renowned work that they are part of, we are joined today by the actor who plays the role of Clifford Bradshaw, Michael Aonkwa-Lindsay. And he is here to talk to us about his show, Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club, which is now playing at the Playhouse Theater in London. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting kitkat.club/cabaret-London. It is very important that you that last bit. Otherwise, you'll be directed to the other production of this amazing show happening here in New York, of course, on Broadway at the August Wilson Theater. But for today, we are going to visit the original of this production over in the West End. And I am so excited that we get this opportunity. So let's welcome in our guest, Michael. Welcome in to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here. Thank you for hopping over the pond to come chat to me.
I'm so, so excited that you are here and that we get to talk about this show, which has been on everyone's lips, I feel like, for the last 2 years. This show has been incredible. What a brilliant reimagining of a classic theater piece. So why don't we start by having you tell listeners who maybe have no idea what Cabaret is. What is Cabaret about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna steal that word you just used there. It's a great one. Is that reimagining? It's a reimagining of, it's a Candor and Ebb classic called Cabaret. The story is set in Weimar Berlin, so 1920s to 30s Germany. This sort of, this period of cultural explosion, you know, in Berlin before we slip into fascism. It's sort of generally about how we can sleepwalk into fascism, the sort of sweet delusions we live under and live with as that happens. But it's beautiful. There's a beautiful demonstration. You see the incredible world that people lived in before, obviously, the world got turned on its head into something completely ugly. Yeah.
That is a brilliant, brilliant synopsis of this show. And I think as listeners were listening to this, I mean, now more than ever, it's insane that a piece from the 70s, you know, 50 years later, is even more relevant with its thoughts and its ideas and, God forbid, its events, you know. So this is incredible that you are part of this amazing work. And it should be noted, I mean, the way that the story is told is brilliant. As I understand, it's an immersive experience. There's a reason why include Kit Kat Club and everything from the title itself to the location. It sounds so much fun.
It really, truly is. Yeah, it is.
So let me ask you, how is it that you came upon this particular piece?
You know, just in the same way that, you know, most actors would do, your agent sends you an email. You're hanging off your phone, the agent sends you an email saying, hey, they want to see you for this thing. And then you make your decision and say, and in this case, it was a very quick, absolutely, for me. Ironically, I'd actually done this production once when I was younger at university, but sort of an Amdram group. So I'd come across the show before, but for this particular production, yeah, it was an email from my agent. But I'd loved it from when I'd done it when I was younger. So it was a very quick yes. I'd love to be seen for it.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
What has it been like developing this current iteration of Cabaret?
You know, I stepped into an already existing thing. You know, this show began in 21 with Eddie Redmayne and Jesse Buckley and Mario Douglas, that incredible original cast. And it was this already incredibly established thing that, you know, as you say, took the theatre world by storm. And so it was very exciting in that way. But it was great because when I joined, it was three of us that were newcomers. It was myself, Cara Delevingne, and Luke Treadaway. It was assuring because, you know, the concept is tried and tested, and in a sense, you know, it felt robust and exciting in that. But equally, you know, we felt very creative because we could bring ourselves to it, you know, our shared perspectives into the narrative, how we understand it, how we see it. As you said before, this story is scarily relevant and scarily relatable to a lot of different, you know, time frames, 1920s, 30s Germany notwithstanding. So we could bring ourselves and our understanding of this narrative to it. And in it, you know, Kara and I, because Kara would be Miss Claire Sally, and that Sally and Cliff relationship is very close. We just started from scratch, really, and slowly sort of built this thing together with our creative team. I'm so endlessly grateful to them for facilitating that process for us, that we felt that we could begin from scratch, even though this is an existing success, and they trusted us enough to just sort of give us blank slate and then guide us towards this thing, this tone. But yeah, it was an incredibly creative process developing this. I had a really good time, and I felt that the relationships and the characters all happened organically. And then when we had, because the current cast were obviously still performing at night, so when they started sort of making an appearance into our rehearsals, you know, they were working hard. They'd come in and rehearse this during the day, and then head off. We went home, and they'd head off and go into a show in the evening. So that was a whole other experience for them, which I then experienced later. But I guess we'll come to that. But they were incredibly welcome, and in a way, it felt very safe to sort of have them come in and do this, set up this framework around us that they knew so well that we could then sort of play with them. But yeah, it was really exciting. It was creative, but at the same time, safe. But what else could you wish for as lives?
That is so amazing. Wow, what a marathon for some of these actors to go through with this. That's wonderful. Well, I want to snowball off a thought that you mentioned at the beginning of that answer. And I want to know, is there a message or a thought you were hoping audiences take away from this piece?
Wow. It's interesting because I think something that runs within this as like a whole, sort of zoomed out, there's so many relationships within the show that have completely different textures, completely different energies, you know, people collide into each other's lives and have effects on each other. And there's so many things you can dig into. But if you kind of zoom out, one thing that I think is really apparent is just how easily things untangle. You know, when in the world, when there's a status quo or things are heading in a certain direction, there's a feeling of sort of, that can feel quite robust. Like, this is the way the world is. And I think it can be alarming how quickly those things can completely untangle. And I think that in itself is, it's a message. It's an important message for us all to understand that, you know, the things that we love, or the things that we understand about the world, they're not a given. Nothing that we have is a given. And I think that's a really important message in the show, how far we can travel from where we were and how quickly that can happen. You know, you think about that, it the situation turned on its head, you know, from this incredibly free, liberating city, from a different gender identities and queer identities and various, in this show in particular as well, racial identities, and how that suddenly can sort of turn into what we understand about Nazi Germany. So I think that is something that it's really important as a message in the show. But also it's important to understand the joy of that and the beauty and how these things happen in cycles. But I think, by and large, one thing that I think is really beautiful about the show is the difference in perspectives. You know, when something like this is happening, when your world is being shaken and things are turning on its head, everyone's perspective, everyone's approach, everyone's reaction is going to be so different. I think the show does a really beautiful job of describing or showing you these different perspectives and where they're coming from. It's so hard as human beings for us to understand each other. And I think the most beautiful pieces of art help us understand our neighbors better. And I think this show does that. And I guess I just hope that people can also walk away from it and understand where people are coming from. Moments like these happen even more. Honestly, I could talk about this for ages. I really love the messages in this show. But I guess those are some of the bigger messages, I think, that are important.
I love those thoughts, though. But it's still, as you mentioned, just as relevant. That's the frightening thing. Yeah. And so understanding how these ideas translate is really, really, really important. So I love that. It's a beautiful
question. Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, how they created this around, you know, their casting and just every element of it, the design, the costumes, the choreography, you know, to represent what it was then as well, you know, queer identities. That was a huge part of Berlin's sort of cabaret culture. But how do we show that and represent that today as well? And I think they've done a beautiful job with that.
That is wonderful. Yes, yes, yes. So that leads to my final question for this first part, which is, who are you hoping have access to cabaret at the Kit Kat Club?
Oh, you know, this is something that I think, because everyone, you know, everyone, I think the best theatre, the best things hold a message for everyone. And that in itself, actually, it sounds a bit of a simple answer, I guess, but it can be a bit more radical than it sounds to create access for everyone to see something, because that's a difficult thing, you know. So I would just hope that anyone can come and see this, I can get a local, take a message from it. You know, I've talked a lot about the right, we have so many people queer identities, and I think that in itself, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see people from various different racial backgrounds coming to see the show. I'd love to see people from all sorts of walks of life coming to see it, because like I said, there are perspectives for everyone to relate to feel seen. And so truly, it sounds simple, but everyone, and I think that actually as a concept is quite radical and quite difficult to do. But you know, it's a good goal to head for, to make it accessible for everyone to see. Because at the end of the day, these issues, these things, they affect us all, not just some, you know. So if I mean, there are lots of different ways. There's lottery. There's different opportunities to see tickets, but to see the show, to get tickets. But yeah, I would really hope that we can create access for everyone for these kind of things.
Interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I would love to know, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Yeah, it's such a tough question, I find this, because honestly, it sounds maybe cliche, but every time I watch something on stage, someone is inspiring me, whether that's an actor on stage who is just so free, but you know, the actor, you see it in the writing, or you watch a director make a bold choice, or you know, you're watching costume or lighting or design, something is always there to inspire me. So I find this really difficult to answer, because I just love to see artists take bold creative decisions and just, you know, feel you watch them feed their creativity and their creative journey. So truly, every time I watch something, I feel inspired, which is why I love going to see things so much. I mean, I adore writers like Terrell Alban McCraney. I did a play for him last year in this November, December, called Choir Boy at the Bristol Vic. And it's a beautiful play, firstly. Honestly, such a pleasure to be a part of, and feel like I've made a family of artists being a part of that. And when he came to come and ZK, he flew over, even though he was about to start his artistic directorship at the Geffen, he found the time to fly over to Bristol to support us. And he was just an incredible speaker, and his insights were beautiful, and it really enhanced the show. But also I got the feeling this is someone that really looks at the world and has made it their mission to understand people in the world, and so he was super inspiring. I love, obviously, Sondheim's music, playwrights like Martin McDonagh, Shakespeare, all the classics. I honestly adore. But truly, every time I watch something, I feel inspired. Recently, I saw there's a new play in London that that recently came back, called The Black Boys, with Considered Suicide When the Hue Gets Too Heavy. And that was incredible to demonstrate and show something that hasn't been shown or told before. Sides of these young Black men that haven't been seen, and the bravery of the work and to put that up, you know. The effects directed by Jamie Lloyd at Papa Seed, Taylor Russell, Cobner Holbrook Smith, Michelle Austin, incredible play, also reimagining of something of a previous script. I honestly could be here for hours, but I love to see Bond work, and it just makes me excited because I think at the core of creativity for me, or what makes being creative so exciting, well, that is most exciting for me, is when you feel freedom. And so when I see other people being free, it inspires me to do the same.
I love that answer. I love that list. What amazing, amazing shows and artists on that. Thank you for that. I know that you've been very busy with your show, obviously, but have you had the chance at all to see any great theater lately you might be able to recommend to our listeners?
Well, this is the only problem. I actually haven't had a chance to see much recently because with obviously coming into the show and rehearsing, and then with the cast change and our shows, I hardly have any time to watch anything. So I'm really excited for the next month. I think I've got a little bit of holiday time. I'm going to try and watch some things. But I did happen to see a picture of Dorian Gray with Sarah Snook in it. Gosh, that was an absolute beat. I couldn't believe what I was watching. It was so innovative. I love Sarah Snook as an actor anyway. Obviously, I watched her in Succession. I thought it was an incredible show. And what they set out with that show was also incredible. You know, they had... It's hard to explain, but they had about 5 or 6, maybe 7 screens. And she was performing on stage, which was a one-woman show, where she was playing all the different characters. But she was on the stage performing, and while she was performing, there were a bunch of camera operators all at the same time with her. And so she would be doing a scene, maybe straight to camera, and at other times she'd have a mirror in her hand and be performing to the mirror, and there was a camera behind her, and on the screen we'd be seeing her perform her performance to, but while at the same time watching her do it on stage, and obviously finding her mark seamlessly because everything was choreographed. And then other scenes where on the screens there were pre-recorded versions of other characters that she was also performing, that then she was doing scenes with at the same time, obviously perfectly timed. It was honestly incredible. And there were these moments of action where, you know, she would do something that made me believe she'd hit someone, another character that was on another screen somewhere else, because she was performing to have a camera across the room. And it was a technical feat. I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. So that was something I saw recently that I thought was incredibly bold, incredibly new, and obviously just a testament to Sarah and the whole team. And that was very exciting to watch. But I haven't had too much of a chance to watch things recently because I've been so into the cabaret land, but excited, as I said, to watch Slave Play and People Places Things, which is next on the list. But I did see Enemy of the People actually as well when I was in rehearsals, which I know just maybe was on Broadway with Journey. I'm not totally sure, but yeah. That was with Matt Smith, and that was excellent too. But yeah, like I said, that journey is starting soon, but I've been watching lots of film and TV, so that's been keeping me busy.
That is fantastic. Some wonderful suggestions there. Well, let me ask you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
I have so many answers. I must streamline this. Speaking briefly, I love rehearsals, the discussion, the time you get to explore things. You know, not every, as an actor, not every project you're doing, you're afforded that time. Sometimes you're on a quicker schedule if it's filming or if it's something commercial. So in theatre land, you have so much time to explore and discover before you even come to perform. So that rehearsal time is beautiful. Community, the people, the friends that you make, and the fact that you're in it. And so you're locked in for some months and you're in adjustment with people. And there are days where I come into work and maybe life is beating you down a little bit, and within minutes you're just laughing because the people in your dressing room are outrageously funny or telling you funny stories, and you just connect on a certain level. And so that for me is a beautiful aspect of theatre, just that community that you build within your cast crew, people that are taking care of you, come to your hair, or that they do your costumes or helping dress you. And those small conversations you have, just you get closer to people. I adore that aspect. You're so close to every aspect of the show. And aside from that, sort of just the play of it, the challenge of recreating some repetition, I think, is something that is very unique to theatre. You know, doing something, the same show over and over, 8 times a week, however many months you're doing it. And that challenge of recreating something, you know, you've got to connect, but then keep connecting every single day. And, you know, you can't be precious. You can't. There's some days that certain things connect better than others, and you just got to keep moving. And I think that comes back to that initial feeling of freedom and creating without inhibitions and you know, getting out of your own way to keep creating, even if something wasn't quite perfect that day. And so releasing yourself from that perfectionism just it allows you to be so much more free as an artist. And who wants art that's perfect? It's meant to be messy and like humans. So that in itself, that repetition is a gift, because you're sort of forced to just keep re-meeting over and over again this material and your perspective on the material. So I'm really, really grateful for that, although it's a challenge. Yeah, I think that's as streamlined as I can make the answer. Otherwise, I'll be going on and on. And on. But I do love the theater.
I love that answer. That is such a fantastic answer. And that leads to my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Oh, you're killing me. My favorite theater memory. Okay. It's so hard. There are so many things that are just euphoric about it. The thing that jumps to my head straight away, I did the production of Disney's Newsies in London last year. And on our final night, our final show, we had a three-tier tower in the show. And the theatre was such an interesting design, with it sort of having lots of different levels and standing was a different area of New York, like Brooklyn or Manhattan. And when I was about to sing Santa Fe, I had to walk up to the top of the towers, and there'd be like an incredible moon behind it that the light design team had made. But from that top tower, such a high theatre, I could literally see every single thing. And I could also see down the stairs past the audience to where some of the wings, the back wings were. And when I went up to sing Santa Fe, everyone has left the stage after the big strike scene. And I was already starting to cry at this point, because it was, final show. I'm trying to hold it together so I can keep delivering the story. And I go up the stairs and I start singing the song, and I come to the middle of the tower, and I can see down the stairs to the, like I said, the back wings. And every one of the newsies was sort of stood arm in arm, watching in support. And they looked out, start singing a song, and they're all looking towards me arm in arm. And I was just, it was the most beautiful sort of just imagery of support. And we had such a great, can't say brotherhood, because there were so many genders, but just this like family feel. And I just felt so held and supported in that moment. And like, we'd gotten through this thing together, because it was such a challenge of a show. And I was singing that song. That was such a challenge of a song. And it just really hit me. And I felt very, very cared for. So I think that's probably the first thing that jumps to my head.
I love that memory. That's such a beautiful memory. Oh,
truly, truly, truly. I was in tears, man. I was gone.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that memory with us. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, are there any other projects or productions that you have coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Oh, do you know, I happen to know that. So something I'm doing next is being announced next week. So I'm still on embargo. I still can't say today, depending on when this airs, but it's being announced next week. So if you keep an eye out on my socials, then I will definitely be reposting it. It's an incredible project I'm super excited about that starts right after the end of Cabaret. But please, please keep a lookout. But it's just about to be announced, so I can't say at the moment. But yes, if you keep an eye on my socials, then you'll definitely see something coming up.
Oh, and we will. This is exciting. And that's a great lead into my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club, or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Oh, great. Well, my Instagram is my name and first part of my surname. So Michael Ahomka, which is Michael spelled with A-E-L, and Ahomka spelled A-H-O-M-K-A, and then underscore. That's my Instagram, and I usually put updates and stuff on there as much as I can deal with social media. And then for the Kit Kat Club Cabaret, they've got the London version, has an Instagram account as well, Kit Kat Club LDN for London. And then obviously the website that you mentioned, they can keep up to date there. But yeah, on socials, it's that's what it is on Instagram.
Amazing. Well, Michael, thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak with us, for sharing your amazing show and these wonderful, wonderful insights from your time in the theater. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was honestly such a pleasure. Thanks for taking some time early in the morning to see me. Yeah, it's been brilliant.
Thank you. My guest today has been the incredible actor Michael Omka Lindsay, who is currently playing the starring role of Clifford Bradshaw in Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club. It's now playing at the Playhouse Theatre in London, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting kitkat.club/cabaret-london. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting in our social media posts, as well as in our episode description. But right now, you need to run, don't walk, get your tickets right away for this brilliant production, which is taking London by storm. Yeah, it's definitely taking New York by storm. So either side of the pond, you get the chance to see it. Make sure you go and see it. And if you go see it in London, give Michael a big hello from all of us here at Stage Whisper. But again, the show is Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club, playing now at the Playhouse Theater. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.